3 months ago, we talked about M44s, the so-called cyanide bombs left like landmines on parts of the landscape to kill wolves and other animals, causing problems for ranchers and livestock. The state of Oregon banned the use of M44s in this year's legislature, but the federal government announced plans to continue using M44s elsewhere. And then 4 days ago, that changed. The Environmental Protection Agency backed off its earlier announcement to further review the M44 situation, and that is probably music to the ears of our guests. Kelly Noakes is the Shared Earth Wildlife Attorney with the Western Environmental Law Center. Kelly, welcome to the exchange.
Hi, Jeff. Nice to be here.
Good to have you. Brooks Fahey is back with us as well, the Executive Director of Predator Defense. He's the one we talked to in May about the same situation. Brooks, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
So I'm getting a bit of whiplash here myself. Two decisions on M44s just this month. Can you catch us up? Brooks?
Sure. Well, I'll jump in and take that to start. I mean, back in February of this year, we submitted comments, substantive legal and scientific comments on the EPA's proposed interim decision. And this has to do with the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act registration review for sodium cyanide, which is the pesticide active ingredient in these M44 devices. And, you know, we asked once again for a cancellation nationwide of the FIFRA registration for sodium cyanide. And in the alternative, we asked that there were at least some increased use restrictions that would be put in place as far as requiring notification to residents and, you know, banning these devices from within 100 feet of public roads and pathways. And just in August, the EPA did issue an interim decision, and it actually adopted a couple of those increased use restrictions. They largely ignored many of our severe concerns with these devices by, you know, they did not use their affirmative duty to cancel the registration for sodium cyanide when they could have in this decision. But instead, they did actually go ahead and try to adopt a few increased use restrictions like we suggested. But just last week, Administrator Wheeler actually withdrew that interim decision, stating that the agency is going to be reconsidering that interim decision. And, you know, it's really interesting because, you know, I would really like to think that the agency has the public safety and the best interests of the public at heart. But I'm actually pretty hesitant to call this a victory just yet, because along with that withdrawal of the interim decision, it's pretty unclear whether the agency is going to be putting in place these increased use restrictions in the meantime. They didn't actually cancel the use of M44s nationwide like we hoped that they might.
So while you wait for some word on what the next step is, the old restrictions on the M44s are the ones still in effect, Kelly?
That's correct.
All right. So, and what were some of the increased use restrictions that you had asked for and that they were considering?
Well, so in the interim decision, the agency did adopt a restriction that would require notification to all residents within a half-mile radius of placement of an M44, and that would be either by making personal contact and notification or by hanging a door tag on residences. They also were requiring that one person other than the applicator or the person putting the devices out there must know the GPS coordinates of each device, and that would include both the initial placement and subsequent changes if they move the devices around. They were also requiring that the devices couldn't be placed within 100 feet of a public road or pathway, and that actually increased from the prior restriction of only 50 feet of a buffer. They were also requiring that freestanding warning signs at access points or on property boundaries where no fence lines exist be placed out there, and also requiring elevated warning signs be placed within 15 feet of each device, which that decreased from the prior restriction of having a sign within 25 feet. They were also adding a few additional procedural restrictions as far as requiring the notification of area medical personnel be made annually, and then also just changing the word shall throughout the restrictions to the word must to try to give it a bit more of a mandatory effect.
All right. So what you're saying is that with the withdrawal of the recent intention to put the increased use restrictions in place, that the old restrictions stay in place. So you don't have to notify within a half mile radius. It is a 50-foot buffer, et cetera.
Exactly. You know, it's really unclear. This seems like quite an about face. And the fact that it's coming from Administrator Wheeler himself makes me maybe being a little bit pessimistic here, but makes me think there's a little bit of a political wind at play here as far as the agricultural interests and wildlife services themselves maybe not being super happy about the directions limiting their use, even if it's only in the most minimal of ways to protect public safety.
We are talking about the M44 cyanide bombs, as they are known by people who don't like them, which are placed in the landscape and act somewhat like landmines and spraying cyanide on critters. But sometimes they hit people and dogs, as happened in Idaho a few years ago. You'll hear about that in a moment. The EPA last week reversed an earlier decision to go ahead and continue using the M44s and said it would take up further review. Kelly Noakes is with the Western Environmental Law Center. Brooks Fahey is with us as well from Predator Defense. Your input is welcome as well at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Brooks, when the news came down on Thursday, were you just kind of shaking your head, wondering what was up?
Oh, yeah. We were blindsided. The reality of the use restrictions is, even before minimal use restrictions, they weren't following them. Over the three decades that we've been working with families and trying to ban these devices, that every time there's an incident, or several times over that period of time, they've basically upgraded, I guess I'll say, the use restrictions. But you've got to remember, this is one individual in the field, one trapper. I've been told by numerous trappers that they don't like putting signs up because it draws attention to the fact that they're putting devices in the area. And so even before, they weren't following the use restrictions. I think it's really important to remember, this is nothing more than writing on paper, and these are not criminal codes. And the incidents that we've documented before with people, dogs, threatened species, when they've been poisoned or killed, there hasn't been any kind of criminal penalty that comes down. Nothing happens. Nobody's fired. Nobody loses their job. Nobody goes to prison. So it's important to remember that these use restrictions are almost meaningless, and they're essentially not followed anyhow. So the fact that they were redone up until a week ago and enhanced just a little bit does nothing to comfort me that these devices are going to be any safer than they were before. To me, the perfect analogy is, what if we were talking about a handgun, a loaded handgun with a safety off, laying out somewhere, and we put signs all around it, and signs at entrance gates? Would that make you feel safer that nobody was going to run into that gun, or a child who couldn't read a sign wasn't accidentally going to discharge that gun? Of course not. The whole idea behind these devices to begin with is insane. Here you have one of the deadliest poisons on earth, ready to go off just with just a little bit of pressure. And what's it for? To kill coyotes? This is just, it's lunacy to begin with. It defies all common sense. And for us, what's been a game changer was the Idaho incident, was Canyon Mansfield. That here you have, it's essentially what we've been predicting, a child thinking that what he saw was a sprinkler, unmarked, set illegally on public land in Idaho. And it almost killed him, and it did kill his dog. So, again, this idea that, you know, as far as the EPA, that they're going to enhance the restrictions on how you can use these devices does not make them safer.
Is Wildlife Services, the division of the Department of Agriculture, the only organization that sets these things?
Yes, and there's some state agencies, state ag agencies and predator control boards in South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, I believe Texas, Kelly, and maybe one or two other
states. And New Mexico as well.
And so, Kelly, how widely used are the M44s? Does anybody have any idea how many are deployed across the West at any given time? And is it just the West?
Well, you know, it's not just the West. These devices are used in West Virginia and Virginia as well. And, you know, Wildlife Services is a very secretive rogue agency. So getting numbers and details on exactly how many of these devices are actually deployed is nearly impossible. We've submitted numerous Freedom of Information Act requests to try to gain this information, and the only thing that we have is what the agency reports on its own website and its own program data reports. And even there, it's been widely acknowledged in the field that this agency tries to cover up as best as they can. They don't want folks to know how often they're using these. So the numbers that are even reported out there are, you know, at best speculative. So it's really hard to know how many of these devices are out there.
We're talking about go ahead, Brooks.
We've interviewed people, and we produced a film 5 years ago called Exposed, USDA's War on Wildlife, with two former wildlife services trappers, two whistleblowers. And we've been told of incidents where they kill a threatened species, a dog, and things like that, and that they cover it up. It's never entered into their records. Now, the first big case we ever dealt with back in 1994 were, as an organization, and myself personally became somewhat of a victim's advocate. It was Amanda Wood Kingsley in Harrisburg, Oregon. She had M44 set on her property. She was never notified. There were no signs to the entrance of her property. And they were taking a lovely evening walk when her dog pulled an M44. As her dog is dying from the M44, she's trying to resuscitate her dog. And then she inhaled some of the sodium cyanide particles. That was never reported. It was never entered into Wildlife Service's records. It was never reported to the EPA. And there have been other cases as well that have never, you know, actually been officially recorded. There was an incident in 2003 with an individual in Utah where he and his family were out on their ATVs rock hunting, and he saw what he thought was a survey marker. And he started to brush the dust off of it, and it went off and deflected, hit him in the chest, and he got some in his face. Well, his name was Dennis Slaw, and Dennis passed away last February. And in his death certificate, it was his cause of death was related to his M44 exposure. He was never able to go back to work after his exposure. And Wildlife Services, even though we know they had M44s in the area and that the M44 that he accidentally ejected said U.S. government on the side, they never took responsibility for it. They never contacted him. And case after case, with individuals who have lost dogs or people who have suffered, who have been poisoned themselves, Wildlife Services never reaches out to those individuals at all.
This is the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the use of those M44 cyanide devices that are meant to curtail wildlife deemed to be pests by the United States government. The state of Oregon banned the devices in a legislative session this year, and then the EPA indicated it was going to continue to use them, albeit with some increased restrictions, but then last week backed off and said, no, wait, we got to think about this a little more. We are talking to Brooks Fahey from Predator Defense and Kelly Noakes from the Western Environmental Law Center. Kelly, talk about the legal efforts you've been making over the years to try to get the use curtailed, either through legislation or through lawsuit.
Yeah, sure. So back in 2017, I co-authored a petition to the EPA on behalf of Predator Defense and Wild Earth Guardians and the Center for Biological Diversity and a number of other organizations seeking the cancellation of the federal pesticide registration for sodium cyanide. And like I said earlier, the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act is what provides the framework for federal regulation of pesticide use, sale, and registration. And sodium cyanide is registered for use only by registered users under this law. And, you know, this law is really intended to prohibit the use of pesticides that cause unreasonable adverse effects on the environment. And the EPA is the agency that's responsible for administering this law. And they have the authority to limit the use of certain pesticides to prevent this unreasonable adverse effects on the environment. And, you know, in November of last year, the EPA denied that original petition that we had submitted and instead deferred us to voice our concerns during this pending re-registration review process that's currently underway. And so there is this pending registration review process, which is kind of a wonky legal route that we're trying to attempt as far as Wildlife Services is the agency that uses these devices. They're at the heart of it, but the EPA has the authority to ban these devices and take this tool out of Wildlife Services' toolbox altogether through the FIFRA registration process. And so now we're in a pending registration process where that's where this interim decision that came out in August came into play. And I think Brooks makes a super crucial note there that, you know, use restrictions only go as far as enforcement. And notably in the interim decision that the EBA did originally release, they did nothing to address our concern about the enforcement of these minimal use restrictions. And then the withdrawal is also coming from that. So the withdrawal of this interim decision is really interesting because the agency didn't technically need to issue this interim decision in the first place. This registration review process is currently being held up by an Endangered Species Act consultation process. And so pending that process, which is not going to be completed until December of 2021, that's when the agency will actually make a final decision on the FIFRA registration for sodium cyanide. So now we're kind of in a limbo of, it would be nice to have a few, you know, increased use restrictions in play, but the agency should do more to make sure that those are enforced, of course. But also, we're still going to maintain that this registration under the Federal Insecticide and Fungicide Act should be canceled altogether because of the unreasonable adverse risk to humans and the environment that this cruel, lethal device presents.
So, Brooks Fahey, what I think I'm hearing in the minute we have left is no change in procedure, that you guys will continue doing what you've been doing, and this is only an interesting pause from the EPA's end.
Correct. I mean, we're approaching this both through litigation and by state legislation, as we just did in Oregon, by passing a complete ban in Oregon. As of this moment, no M44s are being used in Oregon anymore. The law wasn't supposed to go into effect until January 1st, 2020, but we requested the Wildlife Services that they stop using them immediately, and they did. We're working with other states as far as state bans, and we're also working with other individual citizens in counties who want to do county bans.
So are there any other state bans at this point, Brooks?
Right now, in Idaho, there's been a temporary moratorium, but it's actually been in effect for 2.5 years since the Mansfield incident, since Canyon was poisoned and his dog was killed. And that doesn't appear to be, they have to give us 30 days notice to let us know when they're going to start using them again. We're told that that's not going to be happening anytime soon. And we're working just at this point right now. We're in discussions with other states as far as a state initiative. And we're very fortunate in Oregon to have Senator Prozanski sponsor our bill. And then, of course, Governor Kate Brown signed it into law.
All right. So we have a couple of avenues still being pursued here in terms of getting the M44 cyanide bomb devices banned once and for all. Again, just to catch up, the state of Oregon did ban them in the legislature this year with some urging from Predator Defense. Brooks Fahey, we're talking to here. Kelly Noakes is with us from the Environmental Law Center. And they're still legal in other parts of the West, used by the federal government. The federal government indicated that it was going to go ahead and continue using them and then reversed course as of Thursday of last week. So more to talk about with this story.